Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Good morning, church. How are you doing today? Good. It's good to be here with you all. Grateful to be here. My name is Pastor Chris, one of the pastors here, and it's an honor and privilege to be here. To worship our amazing God, to be here together, and it means the world to us that you are here, whether you're joining in person or online, welcome. We're so grateful for you to be here. It means the world to us. We'd love to hear from you. If it's your first time, or if it's your first time in a while, if you never fill out a Connect card, we have a gift that says thank you for being here, and or you can use that as a prayer request. We'd love to come alongside of you to pray. So you can put your name on there and any prayer needs that you have. The staff loves when we get those in to just be praying for each and every one of y'all. I'm grateful for that. We've been in a sermon series called The Paradoxes of the Kingdom. We've been looking at these truths that we find in Scripture and how drastically different they are than what the world says. So the world might tell us how to love and what is love, but when we look to Scripture, we see a totally different meaning. When we look and we wonder, what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to have success or have meaning and purpose in life? The world says one thing, and the Scripture says something totally different. For us to have life, we must lose our life. Right? For us to gain, we give. We see all these different paradoxes. And today, we're going to open up to another one. But I want to give you a statement of where we're going, and hopefully that where we'll be as we open up the Scriptures. But the statement I want to leave with you today and start off with is: a successful life is not measured by what you do, but by who you worship. A successful life is not measured by what you do, but by who you worship. We live in a world that defines success by many different things. Money, popularity, accomplishments, comfort. And if someone's rich or they're respected, they're moral, successful, most people assume they have everything they need. Or they have it all together. And that's exactly how people would have viewed this young man that we're going to read about in the Scriptures. Matthew tells us that he was young. Luke tells us that he was a ruler. And Mark tells us that he was rich. You see, he had everything this world has to offer. He had status, he had wealth, morality, and influence. Yet despite having everything the world says that matters, he still was lacking. Most important thing. The passage reveals one of the greatest paradoxes in the kingdom of God. You can gain everything the world has to offer and still miss what matters most. You can gain everything this world has to offer and still miss what matters most. Because a successful life is not measured by what you do, but who you worship. We're going to be in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. If you can find your place in God's Word, if you have your Bible with you, or it'll also be on the screen. And when you do find yourself there, when you find your place in God's Word, if you please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. Reading from the Word of God. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him, and he asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him,
one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Jesus, looking around, he said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again, and he said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then they were even more astonished, and they said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my name's sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Now, all together, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Pray with me. Lord, we love you. God, you are good and you are great. We desire, God, to hear from you and not from man. So whatever is distracting us, God, whatever, God, that may be coming in between us from hearing from you and your word, God, I pray that we surrender those things today. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, receive your truth, your word, and may we respond in obedience and worship because you alone are worthy. God, I pray I decrease and you increase. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. In today's passage, I want us to see 4 truths that I believe if we focus on these truths this morning that we've read in the Gospel of Mark, that'll help us to understand what it means to live a successful life. The first truth I want us to see, the first thing I want us to start with is to stop trusting in your goodness, but trust God. The first thing that I think we see here, right, is this rich young ruler. We see that he came, I believe, in the right posture. We know he came to the right source. He runs. He finds Jesus. He eagerly is running to Jesus, right? He finds Jesus. He's at the feet of Jesus, and he's asking about eternal life. He's not asking about how he can make his bank account grow bigger, right? How he can gain all these things, but he's asking about eternal life. He says, good teacher, what must I do? And there is where we see the problem. There we see that his focus is still an inward focus, a self-based focus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so stop trusting in your goodness, but trust in God, right? His response is, why do you call me good? For no one is good but God. And so Jesus here is not denying his deity as God, right? But he's helping formulate his thoughts, his affection, his attention to be not on self, but to be on God. So he says, you know the commandments, which I think is very interesting, right? The verses before this, Jesus is teaching about who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? Doesn't it make sense for him to say, you enter the kingdom of heaven like a little child? That's what he just taught a few moments ago. But the awesome thing about God, right, is that he knows our heart. He knows. And there is where he confronts. He confronts to the deep, the core of our heart, of who we are, of what we're basing our hope, our faith, and where we're placing our trust in. Where's our affection, our attention? And so Jesus starts with the law, and he starts with the second part of it, right? You know what it says, right? He tells them, hey, why do you call me good? And then he says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, keep the law, right? Don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and your mother. And the law, we know, is to reveal like a mirror the issues of our heart. When we read the law, we see that, man, we've messed up. We've maybe not physically murdered anybody, but we've had hate in our heart before. Have we all honored our parents all the time, our mother and father? No. Every child, right? No. We all fall short. When we look to the law, we see we don't measure up. We fall short. But his response is intriguing. With confidence, he responds, teacher, I've kept all of these. Since I was a youth up, I've kept them all. And then what does Jesus say? Verse 21. It says, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, one thing you lack. You know, we'd like to define love in a lot of different ways. But we see, right? We see that one, God is love. And we see God, we see Jesus Christ confronting the heart of this man. And he says, one thing you lack. And he pushes on another pressure point on this man. And he says, one thing you lack, go sell all that you have, all that you possess, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. The second thing I think that we should see, and that's worthwhile of noting, is that we need to surrender whatever you love more than Jesus. Surrender whatever you love more than Jesus. If there's anything that you love more than Jesus, we are to surrender those things. Now, Jesus didn't call everyone to do this, right? He didn't go out and call everyone to sell all that you possess, right? He didn't all these things and give it to the poor and distribute it to the poor and come follow me. What is Jesus getting at? What matters most, right, is what we worship. Though he had many possessions, his many possessions had him. He was enslaved to those things. Those things had first place in priority of his life. Those things is where his affection and his love and his attention, his love for those things, his trust, his identity were in the things rather than in Christ. And so we see that Jesus confronts that, right? And that's such a powerful reminder. Like, the most loving thing we can do is to tell somebody, is to speak truth, right? Is to help point them to Christ, to reveal things in our hearts that hey, that when you said this, when you did that, can you tell me about that? Like, have difficult conversations. So we're not, I need difficult conversations. That's how I'm better. When I have people speaking into my life, and we see Jesus, it says he loved him, and he confronted the idol that was on his heart. You know, many of us, we may not trust maybe in money, but maybe our identity is in other things. We're trusting in other things. Maybe it's in our good behavior or values, or maybe it's in comfort or relationship or success, maybe sports and reputation, control, whatever it may be, the call is to surrender those things to Christ. For those things to be realigned, to take second and third and fourth and fifth place in our life, for Christ to be number one. Jesus will always confront whatever sits on the throne of our hearts because he commands complete allegiance to those who would follow him. Jesus commands complete, full allegiance for those that would follow him as Lord and Savior. You know, this man was trying to add Jesus to his moral life, to his religious life, to his life of possession and prosperity, that he was wanting those things plus Jesus. But we see Jesus calling him to surrender all, to completely trust that he will provide, to completely trust that God would give him treasure, that he would provide for his needs, that he would, and he is enough, that he fully and completely satisfies our deepest longings. The question is not, do I have idols? But what am I unwilling to surrender to Jesus? What am I unwilling to surrender to Jesus? Because whatever controls us most, right, has become our master. Third thing I think we should see that's worthwhile noting is that, point number three, a call to depend fully on God's grace to save you. These words that Jesus spoke after this rich young ruler left, he says, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished by it. They were taken back. A lot of them believed this prosperity, these riches, having life together was God's favor on their life. And surely he's a religious person. He's doing everything right. He's a family man, a businessman. He's got it all going on. And what do you mean can't enter the kingdom of God? And so Jesus gives them an illustration. He says how difficult it is. And he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they ask, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus says this, with people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible with God. And so point number three is depend fully on God's grace to save you. To depend fully on God's grace and solely on God's grace to save you. We can't save ourselves. Being a good person, no amount of money, no amount of good deeds, no amount of religion or morality can save us. We must depend fully on the grace of God, on the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about this passage, and as I was looking, there was really like three words that were standing out to me. First one is good. The next one, love. And the last one, life. Right? And these are all who God is. God is love. God is good. And only in God do we have life. When we think about what does it mean to have a successful life, what does it mean to be successful? It's the fully and completely depend on God. Worship in love and enjoy God. And we only enter that through grace. So there's no achievement. For success, the greatest success that we can have in life is to receive the grace and the goodness of God. To receive eternal life through the finished work of Jesus Christ, the cross, the empty tomb. And there we find life and life abundant. And the last thing we see, Jesus' call. He says we should treasure Jesus more than anything else. I believe the call for this rich young ruler and the call for all of us, treasuring Jesus Christ more than anything else. In Matthew 16, we read this truth that I believe is the core truth of this passage. It says, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul, to lose his soul. We see this rich young ruler, right? He has gained everything this world says and has for us to feel successful, for us to feel fulfilled, just to be complete. But Jesus says, one thing you lack. And really that one thing is Christ. Following Jesus will cost us something. Following Jesus will cost you something. It costs. But not following Jesus, it costs us everything. So though the world would look, and though in here, and probably your title of in your Bible says rich young ruler, but what we see is that he was a poor, sad slave. He didn't have life. He was enslaved to the things the possessions that he had. He leaves Jesus saddened and grieving. I remember the first time I left the feet of Jesus for the first time, understanding who I was and who he was. I didn't feel sad or grieving. When I understood the price that was paid, when I was repenting and turning from my sins and trusting in who he was, he gave me life and life abundant. I remember experiencing grace and meaning and significance and purpose and peace and joy for the first time. And that's what he offers. You know, we think of that word of surrender. We think of that word that we're called to live that our bodies be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We read some of those scriptures and we think about surrender. We think about making a sacrifice. But when we see and we understand the beautiful exchange that God gives to his children, that he takes our brokenness, he takes our filthy rags, he takes our mess, our sin, and he gives us the righteousness of Christ. It's not a sacrifice. It's not. If we read the scripture for what it is, when we give and we surrender all to Christ, what we receive outweighs anything that we give up, anything that we turn from, all that he has for his children, all that he has promised for us. And he tells that to Peter. I love Peter, right? Peter always stands up, always is the one who's raising his hand, always is the one that's speaking out. And he's like, hey, Jesus, what about us? Behold, hey, take a look. I mean, we left everything. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or farms. Here's the key. For my sake and for the gospel's sake. Now, he said, but now we'll receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children's and farms. But it says something interesting there. Something that maybe we don't like to talk about. Or we want to just skip over. It says, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. We will never outgive God. We will never lay down something or deny our flesh in some way and think that we've done something great for God and that he owes us something. When we look to the cross of Christ, when we examine the truth of Scripture, we see Jesus gave it all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. It is our right response in worship to God. that he has given us all and everything, right? We gladly lay at his feet. We gladly surrender all. And so when we think about success, we think about life and meaning and purpose, right? We have to stop trusting in ourselves, our own goodness, or what we think is good, and trust completely in God. Whatever is competing for our affection, our attention, our love of Jesus, we surrender those things to God. And then we depend fully on God's grace. That's the beginning of salvation, right? Salvation comes first through grace. And then it continues, right? The sanctification is continually that we continue to run to him to receive his love, his grace, his truth. It's what sustains us through this walk, to continue to fully depend on God's grace, that he's going to meet our needs. And that last point, to treasure him more than anything else. One of my greatest treasures in life, one of the greatest things that I just love, is my family. And one of the greatest treasures I love about my day is when I drive home. And there, my children, not all of them, it used to be my oldest, but now he's kind of grown out of that. But now it's my younger two. They will run out, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And then it's, "Daddy, catch me, Daddy." And they always want me to hold them. And they want to tell me about their day. And it's such a treasure to be with them, to be reunited with them. It's like it's all over again. And like each day it's the same. Like you kind of think like, okay, they're going to get over it. But it's like, no, like I love it. But it's not my greatest treasure. My greatest treasure is when I swim through the sea of children and I find my bride. And there is my greatest treasure. When I get to see her, when I get to hug her, to kiss her, ask her about her day, to be back with my bride. And listen, this, right? This, I believe, is one of the core of the messages here. Where Jesus said, it says he loved him. And he told him to sell all that he had. Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. What's that treasure? It's to see God in all of his glory. It's to see him face to face, to see our Maker. What he is offering is to give up your possessions, to give up your comforts, to give up these things for this and for all eternity, to be face to face with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure of all. That's what I long for. That's what I hope for, right? And that's what Jesus is offering. But it counts, right? There's a cost that we have to count. Will we deny ourselves? Will we surrender and say, "Jesus, I surrender all to you"? Because Jesus confronts whatever's on the throne of our heart. And Jesus commands complete allegiance to those that would follow him. It's not Jesus plus something. It's not Jesus minus something. But it's Jesus and only Jesus. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Are you trusting in something else? In good works? In being a religious person? And family, or anything else, because anything else but Jesus will always fall short. And so what does it look to have to live a successful life, right? It's to love Jesus, to trust Jesus, to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Following Jesus will cost you something, but not following Jesus will cost you everything. The question is not how successful do I look, but the question is, who am I worshiping? And the same call, the same offer that Jesus offered to the poor, sad slave he offers to us. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. The rich young ruler, he walked away clinging to his idols, but Jesus walked to a cross to die for idolaters like you and me. And that's why we celebrate communion. And so if you have your communion elements, if you'll prepare the bread, communion reminds us that our hope is not in our goodness, it's not in our religion, it's not in our achievements, but in the broken body, in the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read these words. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's see. As you prepare the juice, it says, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Let us drink. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so our response as we go, as we continue, right, is that we remember. We remember the sacrifice that was made in our place. We remember all of us need grace. And because we receive grace, we extend grace. And we continue to worship our amazing God because of what he has done. And we respond in song, in rejoicing, giving thanks to God. We also respond in repentance. When things are out of line, when we have our priorities backwards and we continue to cling to the cross, we continue to run to the feet of Jesus in repentance and trust and love. And so as we go into a time of response through song, through singing, respond to however God is leading you. If you need time of prayer, if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can find me, you can find one of our host team members, but we'd love to talk to you and pray with you. But thank you guys. Please stand as we go into a time of response.